Recording has started.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the CCWG New GTLD Auction Proceeds Call on Wednesday, the 27th of February, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge at this time, could you please let yourself be known now? I do have Editola noted. Anyone else? All right. And I want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Erica Mann. Please begin, Erica.
Thank you so much, Julie. Hello to everybody and welcome to our call. We noted, and I just want to say this ahead of before we come to the agenda, that we have a quite small group today and we do have many updates, but we have to ensure, I don't know how we can do it, but please be so kind, do your best to reach out to colleagues as well who typically join, so that we have a bigger group. We are coming to an end, and it will be extremely important that we ensure that everybody is present, or as much as possible present. Okay, having said this, let me do a quick look at the agenda. So we did already the non-roll call, and the number item, second item, will be the question whether anybody wants to make an update concerning the conflict of interest declaration, and then we will come to the review of the charter question one, which we have dealt with the last time, but we want to get some confirmation from you that you agree with the results, and we have still one topic to discuss in related to charter question one, and then hopefully we can talk about charter question two and charter question three as well today, and then we need to keep a little bit of time at the end, and this is the agenda point five, to look and to take decision about COVID. We do have these two slots, if you remember, and we see quite little attendance concerning one of the slots, so we have to take a decision there. And then the last item is just the confirmation concerning the next steps and the next meeting in Kobe. Okay, having said this, let me raise the question now concerning conflict of interest, which is agenda topic two. Anybody who wants to make a declaration or an update? Not, seems to be not the case. Then agenda item three, which is finalized review of charter question one. Input and confirmation concerning the topics we debated last time. The leadership had, as we discussed, had a call concerning these topics, and we summarized them. So, and we need your confirmation to today from you to see that you agree with these results the way we have summarized them. And then we have one more outstanding topic to discuss. Marika, can you just guide us through the topics now on with regard to charter question one?
Sure, Erica. This is Marika. Sure. Do you want me to recap as well the agreements we noted down, or just go to the item
okay.
that?
Absolutely. We have to discuss them. We have to present them and see that we get confirmation, and there's no. Not a misunderstanding from our end concerning one of the topics.
Okay, sure. So this is Marika
Thanks.
Again. So as Erica noted, staff together with the leadership team went through discussion from the last meeting, and as well, of course, the comments that were provided, and tried to kind of capture the conversation into a what we've labeled here as a CCWG agreement, a kind of conclusion following the review of the comment received. And the idea behind that is that, you know, in this way, we'll be able to track, you know, going through all the comments, what we've agreed to do, and a certain extent it will form then the work plan, you know, going forward, you know, after the group has reviewed the comments. And, you know, some of these items may already be, it may already be possible to move forward with those in parallel. So hopefully this will serve as a way to make sure that, you know, the group tracks what it has decided or agreed to do in response to the comments received. So what we did in the document that you see on the screen, and that was also circulated together with the agenda, is to highlight in yellow what we viewed as being the agreement or you know, the proposed next step in being responsive to the comments, as well as the result of the further CCWG deliberations. And just for the record, of course, in certain cases, there may not be an action or an agreement, and you know, that's, of course, perfectly fine as well. Or in certain cases, you may be able to refer to an agreement that was reached on a previous comment that is deemed related. So in relation to the first one that referred or recommended doing a cost-benefit analysis, I think there was some discussion on the last call about, you know, the pros and cons of that. And of course, you know, the group did have it wasn't necessarily cost-benefit analysis, but at least a kind of pro-con overview of the different mechanisms that Sarah Burke helped the group carry out. But here the recommendation is at the moment to see whether ICANN.org would be willing and able to carry out a cost-benefit analysis of the different mechanisms that would analyze the cost in relation to the estimated benefits. And again, that would then help, hopefully help inform the CCWG of making an assessment based on that analysis provided. And I see that Marilyn has her hand up. So, Eric, I'll pause you for a second, as I'm assuming Marilyn wants to speak on this point.
Yep. Yes, thank you so much, Marika. Marilyn, please, I assume this is concerning this topic.
It is. Thank you. It's okay. Marilyn Kate speaking. I'm going to preface my comments by saying low cost sometimes equals low quality, particularly if it is a situation that has ongoing review, management oversight, reporting, et cetera. But I'm actually questioning the idea that ICANN.org has the competency to do this. I personally do not think we should be spending more time on a cost-benefit analysis. It would be easy to say spend only 1% on the oversight, and then we would find ourselves at ICANN being investigated by the IRS, by the European Commission, et cetera, and then we would find that low cost actually was extremely low quality. I'm not sure that a cost-benefit analysis is really, I have not seen significant enough requests for this that I think we should spend more time on it. And I still question that ICANN.org brings the competency to do such an evaluation. If the decision is to go forward with a such a review, I think it should present the full range of options across the three mechanisms. Suggesting that we get a lower cost just because ICANN is doing some services, ICANN.org is doing some services and charging back, I don't see that as a cost-benefit analysis. And it was clearly... Go ahead. It would clearly be a huge conflict of interest.
Marilyn, it's Erica. Marilyn, thank you so much. Of course, it would have to be done across the different mechanisms, at least A, B, and C. This is what we agreed. the topic is, although you are right, it was raised, if I believe only by, I would have to check, but the topic was raised by one person, but it reflects what was debated in our group many times in the past. So it's not like it's a topic which is not reflecting some of the discussions we had in the past. But I see your point, and to some degree I agree with it. The good side of doing maybe just, and we would have to debate this in our group, a light touch, a very light touch of cost-benefit analysis would be to get an understanding how I can or would approach these different topics and how they would reflect upon it from a light touch cost-benefit analysis. One example. For example, one of the questions would be, how do you see the engagement of ICANN, and coming back to the question you raised, Marilyn, how do you see the engagement from currently employed ICANN people with regard to mechanism A, B, and C? And then one could modify this question. I think it would be interesting to see how ICANN would respond to it, because in all three categories or mechanisms, there would be always some kind of engagement from ICANN, either on the fiduciary side, transmission of payments, the financial side. So in each case, there would be some kind of engagement needed because of the oversight and the fiduciary and legal obligations. So personally, I find this quite interesting to see, but I'm totally neutral. If we believe we want to skip this point, that's totally fine for me as well. Or we want to say it's a question the implementation team shall deal with once we have decided about mechanism A, B, and C, and we make a final recommendation, then let's postpone this to the implementation team. And they will have to deal with it. All variations are fine with me, but we need some guidance from the rest of the group now. I see Becky there, because it's not just a question for ICANN or it's a question to Ort as well. But I want to ask you all, what do you believe, how we shall take this point forward? Yes, I agree, Erika. It has to be done completely neutral. Absolutely. So there would be no, the question can't be framed in a way that it would exclude or one of the mechanisms or two of the mechanisms. Totally agree with you. It would have to be done objective and neutral. So what do we do with this question? Can I get somebody else maybe to comment on it? Do you need more time to reflect upon it?
Erika, it's Marilyn. I just want to be sure that you
comment
in the chat.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wanted to be sure you that everyone. I just wanted to be sure that everyone saw my comment in the chat saying, according, you're much more neutral approach to this in the language that you just suggested.
Yes, I agree with you. But I still don't get anybody else. Nobody shows something. Who is talking, please?
Erika, this is Ching. Sorry, I didn't raise my hand.
Ching, please, go.
Jump in. Yes, thank you. This is Ching speaking. I fully agree with what Erika pointed out. A lot of things now we're talking about. Basically we're not trying to pushing or our responsibility to the implementation phase. But what I want to point it out and also to emphasize is that those questions or answers, obviously right now we're talking about using a cost-benefit, cost-benefit analysis as one of a factor to decide which mechanism we wish to put forward, or how we should put for how we should put forward our recommendations. I'd like to emphasize here is that taking some hypothesis here is that, let's say we're making an example, we're making a recommendation for mechanism D, and then the implementation for the ICANN, the new foundation, the implementation would suggest that, let's say, we would disperse or distribute the money simply into several, two, three projects. And I'm just making an assumption here. If we're making recommendation on C, and then the implementation phase, the group then decided they're just going to use the money for two, three projects. It seems that in terms of the cost, if the decision was made this way, it seems that the management of the foundation, the cost to manage and to do all the fiduciary requirement, seems to be much lower than, let's say, if we're recommending the mechanism A, but then the implementation saying that we're going to distribute the funds to 1,000 different smaller projects, then the fiduciary requirement, everything else, the cost goes up. So once again, back to the point that Erica was making is that I think a lot of times that we're talking about, it's really an implementation problem that this can go to separate ways if the way of the money, how the money distributing changes. So I would love to just to make that point. Thanks.
Thank you, Ching. Marilyn, is this a new hand? Okay. Then let me make a recommendation. Ellen, I just see you. Please, Ellen.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on Ching's last comment. He suggested, if I heard him correctly, that one of the possibilities might mean the whole use of the funds be devoted to a relatively small number of projects. And I would suggest that would be exceedingly poor judgment on the part of ICANN. We're talking about perhaps $240 million. If we are putting that into two or three or even four projects, the risk factor of having a project which might have a value of $40, $50, $60 million and it fails is putting this whole thing at a far too high a risk level. So I don't think that's one of the viable alternatives, and I think we need to assess that quickly, because if we're designing this for something like that, I think that if that risk level has to be assessed, and I would personally think it is far too high. Thank you.
Erica, Ellen, thank you. I see comments in the chat room, and I will come back to it because I see some people are still typing. I haven't understood Ching like this way. I believe it was, but Ching, maybe you want to comment on yourself. Anyhow, it's not a question we can discuss here with regard to this particular topic. Currently, we're only discussing, are we doing a light touch, totally objective and neutral with regard to mechanism A, B, and C kind of cost-benefit analysis. And I will try to summarize in a second the key points. So we're not debating any other topic. Not are we doing a basket approach with only few projects which shall be financed, or a broad system. So we're not discussing this. But anyhow, because the topic came up and there seems to be kind of misunderstanding. Ching, do you want to comment on this? Are you able to say something?
Sure. Thank you, Erica, for the opportunity. So, yes, I mean, I'm not in favor of what I just said, you know, in particular, if we're going to set up a foundation and we're only supporting two or three, I'm just making an assumption that, let's say, in the unlikely chance that the implementation team and ICANN then decided that this is the best way to move forward simply because of the cost analysis, then decide because we want to reduce costs and the potential best way to move forward is to support a limited number of projects. So then so definitely I'm just trying to bring up this and you know I mean in particular to answering what we like to try to form a recommendation here is that let's think about some of the scenarios and maybe this would help us to form a recommendation that say, hey, we don't want to go that way, but right now it's just a kind of a high level recommendation that we would like to put forward to the board, and that would somehow more reasonable and more it's easier for us to simply just among the group to form some agreement here. Hope I make myself more clear.
Thank you, Ching. It's Alan. So let me look quickly at what we see in the comments. So Marilyn is supporting Alan, and Ching just made his point, and in the comment as well, just mentioned it was a kind of example. Robert is saying, and this goes back not to the key topic, what we need to discuss here about cost-benefit. He's making the point there are different cost-benefits with regard to the different mechanisms in terms of setting up foundation. There's not only a startup cost, and he's putting in brackets the certain topics, an ongoing cost and closed-down cost. That's true, Richard, Robert, these 10 points we would bring into the question environment. And then let me see if I can find the others again. Becky, I lost them, I believe. Robert, Becky is talking about the risk level clarity. It clearly needs to be assessed, but the outcome can't be determined in theory, correct. Marilyn is supporting Robert. Alan is talking that this point is that if a mechanism is optimal for a certain pattern of donation, which is very high, okay, so it's a similar point on your waste in your comment. Okay, I believe, let's go back now. Let's put this, the other question which Ching raised and you are commenting on, primary, let's put this aside and let's come back to the question because we have to take decisions today. So let's come back to this question. Shall we send to ICANN.org a kind of questionnaire concerning a cost-benefit analysis, or don't we want to do this at all? If we do it, I believe we have an understanding. The question shall include mechanism A, B, and C. They shall be completely neutral and objective, so nothing which would preclude one of the mechanisms in A, B, and C. They shall be light touch and high level, so not going into the nitty gritty of what one can do if one talks about a complete cost benefit analysis, but more in shaping our decision making process in taking a decision concerning A, B, and C, so that we can take a really appropriate decision concerning the mechanism. Do we have an understanding here? If we do have I believe, Marika, we should do maybe in the leadership team a first concept about these questions, and we will send this in by email to this group, and then everybody can start working on it. Or we can do it in the Google Doc, and everybody can participate at the same time. I just like to get this topic from our agenda today. So first of all, do I have agreement? Okay, let's assume we have agreement. I see that Robert is typing and Ching is typing. So let's assume I don't see any hand raised, nothing else. We have an agreement. So let's do it in a Google Doc format. I hope most of you can participate. And if this is not possible, we will find a different format just to set this up. There's agreement from you, did. Okay, Marika, back to you, and please summarize this point so that we have a complete agreement, and then let's take the next gating topic, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So if I understood you correctly, and I think this is what Jokers also noted down in the action item, it would be for leadership to prepare a first draft, and if I understand correctly, a first draft of the request that would go to ICANN org that would kind of outline what the expectations are of a potential cost-benefit analysis so that people can comment on that and agree on what the focus or objective of that would be. Did I understand that correctly?
Correct, Marika. And then the only outstanding question was, do we do a first draft and send it around and wait for comments and additions, or are we just putting this up on a Google document and everybody, the whole group, can participate from the beginning? Just the most easy to way on doing it.
Yeah, thanks, Erica.
Marika?
And that's really up for the group to decide. You know, staff is happy to work with leadership to at least put maybe some initial thoughts on paper, and it may be easier for people to react to that than putting a blank sheet of paper in front of everyone. So maybe that's the approach we can take on this one.
Yep, let's go. Let's do it. And let's move forward. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Erica. So then moving on in the document, as you may recall, there was an extensive conversation on the last call in relation to the role of the ICANN community in relation to review and evaluation of proposals, and several comments also went to that topic. So what we've noted down as a proposed agreement here is that the CCWG would further explore and define what role, if any, the ICANN community should play in the review and evaluation of proposals, and in doing so, take note of any other comments that will help inform this exploration. So again, this is just making a note that this is an item that requires further conversation. I took away as well from the conversation yesterday that this may be an element that's kind of independent of, you know, whatever mechanism is chosen, and you know, maybe there are some features that would be different depending on the mechanism, but it's not necessarily dependent on mechanism A, B, or C to for the group to define its expectations around the role of the ICANN community in that regard.
Marilyn, please. Yeah, I saw Erica. I saw it. Thank you so much. Marilyn, please.
Yes, and thank you, Rika, for this. I just wanted, I think this is excellent. I just wanted a quick question under the recommendation. Should it read, further explore and define what role, if any, the ICANN community, and maybe it says what roles, if any, the ICANN communities, plural, and the ICANN board should play in the review and evaluation of proposals. I just say that because I do think that there is a need. We all understand that there's ultimately a need, regardless of the mechanism, that the board has to accept ultimate accountability But also, the advisory role might vary for mechanism A, B, and C, whether it's providing input on criteria or actually even being asked to review what an independent mechanism might propose. But I think this is generally really going in the right direction. I just wonder if we want to add in the role of the board in each of these. That would mean we have a single recommendation that we can then focus on. Thanks.
Thanks. This is Erica. Marilyn, my instinct is not to do this. Just because of a simple reason, I think you're completely right. The role of the board is extremely important, and we have received different advice from the board, and we will have to take this, of course, into consideration. But my point is, we are responding here to comments we receive from the community, and these comments all related to the role of the community. So my senses and my feeling is maybe we should distinguish these 2 points. I believe you're right. We have to include somewhere a more precise way the role of the board as well. But maybe we should not do it in the with regard to the same question here. Could you agree to this so that we have an understanding? Yes, we have to touch on the role of the board, but we don't do it in the same round of questions. Yeah, and I see you are supporting this. Thank you so much. Marika, we then just need to note that we have, when we do the going through all of the comments and our different setup for the evaluation of A, B, and C, that we have this point captured, and so it's clear that we have a kind of evaluation point where we talk about the role of the board. Do you want to say something, Becky, with regard to this, or are you fine with it, the way we are discussing this right now?
Well, I just want to be clear, because I think that the board has been clear. As a matter of California law, the board has critical fiduciary obligations. That said, the board has been quite clear as well that it does not see itself as being involved in substantive evaluation of the merits of individual applications. So there may be an obligation to ensure that, you know, all of the package of grants that have been approved through the evaluation process, in fact, are within ICANN's mission. But evaluation of individual applications is not what the board does not see itself involved in that.
Thank you, Becky, for clarifying this. This is Erica. But following up on the discussion we had before, I believe Marilyn's point, I think we need to take it serious, because there might be, let's assume A or B or C is tested, and then comes the implementation phase, and suddenly all of the evaluators decide just to finance 2 or 3 big projects and nothing else. This might be a point where then not just the community wants to step in, but maybe the board as well, because it's the role of the board then, because it's such an important decision. So I think it would be good for us to evaluate all the answers we have received from the board concerning the role of the board, and just to put it in a nice overview, just to see that we haven't missed something, or that the board hasn't missed anything they might want to add for future purposes, just to prevent something problematic happening. So I think we have an understanding here, and Marilyn is making another point. Now, the board never, Marilyn, wanted to engage in individual evaluation, and I don't actually believe this would be the role of the board. But you're still right, the oversight needs to be precisely expressed. So we need to do an evaluation. Ching is saying he wants to make the same point. Okay, I believe we have an understanding. So we stick here now to the role of the community or communities. Marika, we need to evaluate the correct language here. And then we have an understanding that we will review all the answers received from the board. We will put them in a kind of template and overview so that we see all of the individual answers and the answer with regard to a particular topic. And then we will do an evaluation more to the end of before we make a decision concerning A, B, and C, and we get an understanding if we believe the board missed something or we believe we forgot to answer a question to the board, which then still needs to be done. Okay, this was a complicated point, but I believe this was super helpful. Marika, back to you. Can you summarize these two topics and then we can move forward?
Thanks, Erica. So I think when one aspect here was to update that ICANN community or ICANN communities, I think we can use a slash maybe to distinguish between that and role and roles, I think was the other point. And I think the other point that was noted or the action item, and Jokas put it down as well, is that it would be helpful to probably prepare a template overview regarding the input received from the board in relation to the envisioned role in this process. And so that would allow for doing a cross-check towards the end of the process to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Erica, thank you so much, Marika. I believe it's all done. So next item, please.
Yes, thanks, Erica. So this is Marika. So moving on, there are a couple of other comments that we also refer back to this agreement to as the basic action item. And then I think there was another agreement, and I think you already referred to that in relation to the kind of overall review of the recommendation. It seems that the CCWG will keep open all three options for now, so A, B, and C, and reevaluate at the end of the review of all public comments and the further input requested, whether any of the mechanisms should be eliminated from consideration. That we've listed as agreement three.
Just let's give a second just to see if somebody wants to raise a question. I believe we have an understanding here. We agreed already last time. I just want to give everybody the chance to intervene or to say something. Okay, I think we can move forward. I will watch the chat room in case something comes up concerning this topic. Otherwise, please move forward, Marika.
Okay, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So then there was another agreement in response to item number five the group to formulate questions to ICANN org or board to ask for the clarifications based on leadership recommendations. And I think that went to the point of accountability and transparency, but obviously and conflict of interest, but obviously going through and through the comments there may be further questions that the group may want to put forward. And that is actually the last.
Erica, to be clear, it's Erica. Yeah, go. Wait a second. Marilyn has a point concerning this topic. Marilyn, please.
I just need to understand this, Marika. I thought the question, it's Marilyn speaking. I thought the question was that the external organization, that the agreement says send more questions to ICANN org or the board. Ask on further clarification, but I thought the request from the ALAC, and I think some from the ALAC, Judith at least, and others are on, I thought the request was in the external organization would need to address their conflict of interest policies, etc. cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering if the recommendation should instead say any external organization should provide adequate responses on conflicts of interest, et cetera, rather than asking the board or ICANN.org about this. I'm just trying to understand, is this a question for the external mechanism or actually a question for the board and ICANN.org?
This is Erica. Maybe let me respond to it to make it a bit easier because Marika wasn't able to join our last call. So what we did here was that we made a recommendation based on what ALEC recommended. So ALEC said in the comment, there shall be if there would be a third party who would cooperate with ICANN in a mechanism, then the conflict of interest for this third party shall be evaluated. And then the leadership made a recommendation, check whether conflict of interest for potential third party operators need to be strengthened beyond the current recommendations. Now, the current recommendations were set up by this group and then supported or added by ICANN Legal and by the board. And now the recommendation is go and check with ICANN.org and the board whether beyond what we have done already, more needs to be done in the case of a cooperation with a third-party operator. So that's the this is the logic of this, a little bit shortened, but this is the logic of the recommendation to you now. Does it make sense, or do you want to strengthen it further? Because we can't put it forward to a different entity. We can only put it forward to ourselves because we don't know if what kind of mechanism we will recommend and who the party will be.
The only thing I'm going to suggest, Erica, it's Marilyn, is that we make sure that the recommendation and the discussion is merged. I think that clarified it for me. Thank you so much.
Good. We will do this. Thank you so much, Marilyn. Marika, please. Just checking. I think we can move forward. Thank you so much. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. That actually are the agreements that we took away from the conversation. As said, you know, for some of the others, we have noted through notes that the discussion that took place and also refer to any other agreements that were related to it. And I think that leaves you with item number 10, which I think is the one you didn't manage to discuss during the last meeting. And that's on page 5.
That's correct, Marika. So please go and read it and read, please, the leadership recommendation as well. I can't unfortunately see it. I can only see my screen today is a bit bizarre, so I can only see bits and pieces of it, but not the coherent overview. Please be so kind to take this question forward. Are you with us? Marika, have we lost you?
No, Erica, I'm here. I'm sorry. Was there a question for me?
Yes, please. Be so kind to read the comment and the leadership recommendation so we can have an informed discussion about it. I can't see it. I can't see, and it's too difficult to move between the two screens in the moment. So if you would be so kind, please, to do it. Thank you.
Of course, and no problem. This is Marika. And for those of you that want to review the full comment, it's further down in the table. This was a comment from the registry stakeholder group, and basically the suggestion that the commenter appeared to make is that the CCWG should give further consideration to which mechanism best reflects the goal of promoting transparency and accountability. And furthermore, the CCWG should consider whether distribution of funds should be limited to charitable organizations or whether there are also other types of organizations, such as, for example, an unincorporated committee, which could perform this function. And I think that refers to how you know, some of the mechanisms are currently described or referred to in charitable organizations. So the leadership recommendation here was to check how the goal of promoting transparency and accountability criteria can be enhanced beyond the language captured in the current set of recommendations. Another check, is there support to enhance the current set of recommendations to allow non-charitable organizations to join forces with ICANN.org? And also to check, could an unincorporated committee might be formed from stakeholders become a partner to ICANN.org in the context of Mechanism B? And a notice made that this might require a legal check. And that's it, Erica, and Marilyn.
Marilyn. Yeah, I see Marilyn. Marilyn, please.
I just wanted to support the majority of these discussions, with one exception, one additional idea, not an exception, but an idea. The example in the agreement, discussion agreement, referenced the European Commission. Maybe we would want Marika to try to come up with a couple of other examples, but understand that we can't rely on governmental examples. We need to also look at examples from the private sector that fund NGOs, because they have criteria as well. I'm not a big fan. I see Robert has posted, you know, blah, 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 the government, blah, 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 the government, you know, and I don't mean to be critical here, but I don't think we want to have the burden of complying with USAID or European Commission or Norway governmental funding. We're trying to establish something that's more independent, that looks more like a trust that is influenced and controlled and directed by the core mission of ICANN. So rather than looking so much at government ideas, I'd like us to look at NGOs and IGs, international organizations, as our examples. So maybe we could just expand, not just having the European Commission, but add in the example of PIR, ISOC, a couple of other examples, so it's clear that we're not just relying on governments as the example that we're referencing. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn. I'm just checking because Marika is sending me, it's Erica, some notes. And Marika is just saying that she believes you commenting on the previous point. And we have taken this into note. So concerning this item, that's a very particular topic. Let me see. Somebody is moving again my screen. Just really sorry. So the point here was very, very narrow one. So if further consideration should be given with regard to the mechanism and so the first one was promoting transparency and accountability, and the leadership recommendation here is very straightforward. Let's check if we have something forgotten, because we talk about it, but maybe we have overlooked something. So So this is just a quick and dirty check. Nothing, no extreme work here, just a quick and dirty check. And then the second question is, to consider whether distribution of funds should be limited to charitable organizations or whether there are also other types of organizations, such as, for example, an unincorporated committee made out of the community, for example, which could perform this function. And here the leadership recommendation is, let's check this with the legal department, the limitation on the possibilities and the options. So, Alan, please.
Thank you very much. In terms of transparency and accountability, I think any operation can be transparent and accountable should we choose to make information available. I don't think in any of those cases we want transparency and accountability to be at the level of we publish all applications and let everyone, you know, make their own decisions on them or do it in parallel. I think there's a certain level of confidentiality we probably will need in this process. But, you know, it really, a particular organization does not necessarily limit the accountability. It's how you manage it. So I don't think any mechanism will be not accountable unless we choose to make it so. In terms of charitable organizations, I don't recall ever limiting this to charitable organizations, and I think if we did that, we would be severely restricting ourselves because the concept of a charitable organization varies from place to place. The difficulty of getting that status varies and is often very expensive and time-consuming. So I would think there should be no requirement that it be technically a charitable organization. Thank you.
There you go. I agree with you, Alan. Both cases. So with regard to the first topic, just do a really quick and dirty check and take a note, Marika and Joker, to check whether we have included somewhere in the in our language a reference to the likelihood that confidentiality is going to be needed. Doesn't have to be explained. It just needs to mention somewhere. And then concerning the second point, I agree, we never mentioned it. I checked this, and as much as I could, we never did. But there's a topic here whether a particular committee could be built to become a kind of stakeholder in the ICANN process. And that's maybe something we need to check quickly with ICANN.org. Ching, please.
I have made my point in the chat room. I'm echoing Alan's point. And adding to that is that there's social and mission-driven, you know, social enterprises these days making impact. So basically we shouldn't limit ourselves to only to charitable orgs. Thanks.
Yeah, and just a quick point. Erica noted in the chat room, there's a broader discussion on the legal fiduciary. Why can't it stay memo on the types of due diligence that can be done over an entity to make sure they are qualified to receive funds? I think the charitable entity might be some form of shorthand here to reflect that need. Okay, so we will pull out the memo again just to be sure that because some people joined recently, so you may not have seen the this memo some is talking about. So we will pull out the memo, and Marika and Joker, and we'll review it and we'll ensure if there's all questions answered already, and if not, then we will highlight these particular questions from the leadership team we believe are not answered yet and can discuss them at this group at our next meeting. Marilyn, please.
Thank you. I'm just going to thank you, Sam. I just think we should ask for Sam to refresh our understanding of what's possible. Not going into great detail, but there was an ICANN meeting where an organization offered funding and they were on the terrorist list. I think we need to, the host government, of course, rejected them. But I think we need to be careful here that we're not just saying, oh, X person applies, there's no due diligence, we don't understand the obligations. If Sam can reply again that work's already been done, I think, Sam, what are the limitations on the kinds of entities that I can give funds to? It is a legal entity issue, I believe, because you can't hold individuals legally accountable if they don't comply very easily in the contract that they've agreed to. But if we could just refer that back to Sam, then we then review and understand the recommendations from the legal team.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's Erica. Marilyn, I believe we have two questions to legal, and I will ask some in a second. So one is the question you just raised, and the second one is, what kind of entity could actually cooperate with ICANN in regard to overseeing and then distributing the fund in case this mechanism, this type of mechanism would be selected? So, Samantha, Sam, I don't want to put you on the spot right now. If you don't have, if you have difficulties to answering all these questions right now and you rather prefer we postpone it to our next meeting, but in case you can do it right now, please, you have the floor. I'm not even sure if you can talk.
This is Sam. Are you able to hear me?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. So I think that a lot of these questions are actually answered within the legal and fiduciary memo that was produced at the beginning of the work. So there we lay out some of the legal limitations on the types of entities that ICANN is able to legally give funds to based on its 501c3 status, because that imposes some limitations. And so there we have discussions of that broader sense of entities that are of charitable in nature, even if they have, you know, more social or other types of drivers to the work that they do. But we also have a long discussion in there about how important it is that we recognize that we not just tie into a 501c3 limitation, because that would be very American-centric and would really close off a lot of potential applicants. And so we have discussion in there about the types of work that the grant entity could do in order to make sure that this is something that could have a global reach. So I think that many of the questions that have been raised today are within that memo. So if Marika, someone on your team could pull that back out and recirculate it to the CCWG, that would be great. If you look through it and then have further questions, we'd be happy to discuss it, but I don't think we need to go into detail now, because that might be, hopefully it's self-explanatory to many of the questions that have been raised here today.
Erica, thank you. Sam, we will do this. We will do this overview. We will pull out the reply we received from you concerning this topic, the original one, and we will put this all in a nice template so it's all of the variations of answers are easy to see, and then we will, in case we believe something is missing, we will come back to you. There's one item, and we don't want to repeat the original discussion we had, but there's one question here, and you may be able to answer it right now, or we put this then on this template. The question is, if an unincorporated entity would be able to apply for a funding. I don't recall that you answered this in the legal memo. You may have done, and I have forgotten. Would you be able to reply right now, I'll Shelby come back to you in a written question.
I think that that would actually be a pretty, it would be a fact-specific issue as to whether or not any particular grouping of people could qualify as an applicant. So, you know, for example, we know that here in the States, there's this thing called an unincorporated association. So that would be an unincorporated group of people that actually have the ability to qualify for recognition as a legal entity, even though they don't have any formal papers. So that could be an example of the, of a type of grouping that might be appropriate to apply, but it also depends on the legal limitations of where they're from, et cetera. So I don't think that it's something that we could really do. It's not a question we could really target a good answer to right now without more details or facts. I think it's the answer is it's a fact-specific question, taking into account the different types of issues that are raised within that legal and fiduciary memo.
Yeah, it's Erica. Thank you, Sam. I think this is very helpful. And we will, when we do this review of the memo which you sent to us, we may want to put this as a topic. We may want to include this, but with the answer you just have given, and then, of course, it would depend, the answer in would depend once a decision will be taken or the evaluation team in the future would want to finance a certain project from such kind of unincorporated entity, and then depending on the individual judgment, the decision then may be able to be taken forward. But it's in a, for this particular group who requested or who put this topic forward, it's probably an important point. So thank you so much. Marika, I don't see anything else which we have to discuss here. Marika, do you want, are you able to summarize the takeaways?
Yes, thanks, Erica. So we'll basically record, and Yoko's been doing a great job in NotesPod, the discussion here, as well as the agreements or action items coming out of this, and we'll circulate that back to the full group, so you'll all have a chance to review and comment on it.
Thank you so much, Marika, and thank you, Joker, for doing all this extremely helpful work as well. Both of you, we will, you already distributed the memo, but we will put the memo as well in the next invite, which we sent as a reminder to review, and the leadership team will do a quick overview about the concerning the topic based on the memo, and just see, do a kind of template overview. So that we have a common understanding about all of the topics mentioned in the memo for future purposes, and see how the last topic about unincorporated entity needs to be further included in an extension of the memo, or can be mentioned in some other ways, or the discussion we had today is already sufficient, but this needs to be understood by this group, how we want to take this item forward. So I think we have an understanding here, and we can move forward to the next topic. Arika, again, I can't see anything, unfortunately.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So I'm pulling up the template for the next batch of comments that were received that relate to Charter Question 2 and Preliminary Recommendation 2 and 3, as well as the guidance for implementation that was provided. So as a reminder, the Recommendation 2 related to the specific objectives of new GTLD the auction proceeds fund allocation, as well as safeguards that would need to be in place, and as well as some additional guidance that was provided in relation to proposal review and selection. So again, like for the previous template, you know, the overarching question here is, you know, what, if anything, needs to be changed to these recommendations and guidance as a result of the input that has been provided. And you know, it may not be possible yet to indicate that, but that, of course, is you know, where you know, the group eventually will need to go after you've had an opportunity to go through through the different questions and make a determination you know, whether or not changes are needed as a result of the input provided. So should I just go to the first comment, Erica?
Yes, please, Marika, just go forward. And I check the chat room if something comes up or somebody wants to raise a question or make a comment, please.
Okay, thanks, thanks, Erica. This is Marika again. So the first comment comes from Anne Eichmann Scalise, and again, you know, the full comment is can be found below, and hopefully everyone has had a chance to review all the comments in their details. What is provided here is a kind of a short recap to help focus the conversation. You know, the suggestion from the commenter seems to be that it's asking the CCWD to consider whether the objectives are overly broad in light of ICANN's mission. Erica, are you still there?
Okay. Yep, I'm here. I'm just back. I was disconnected. Apologies. So anybody who wants to make a comment concerning this item? No, seems not to be the case. So it looks we have an Marilyn, please.
I'm trying to understand the question, which is in the which is whether the objectives are overly broad, and then I go back to if this is referring to recommendation 2. It's benefit the development, distribution, evolution, structures, projects that support the unique identifier systems, capacity building, underserved populations, open and interoperable internet. And then I think there may be a, maybe that was supposed to be a fourth bullet. Right now it reads 24 new GTLD proceeds. Are expected to be allocated in a manner that I think that may be that may just be a formatting issue. And then the recommendation 3 includes safeguards described in response to charter question 2. If that's the objective, and maybe I could ask that you contact Anne and clarify with her. I think it's important to understand what she's asking a question about. If it's about the auction proceeds and there are 3 bullets or there are 4 bullets, it would be important to understand what she's concerned about. Right now, as I read it, development, distribution, evolution, structure, and projects that support the unique identifier system, capacity building and underserved population, and benefit the open interoperable internet. I'm not sure she would, I can't speak for her, but I'm not sure that she would object to that. So it would be helpful to, if you don't mind reaching out to her, and clarifying what she was raising as a concern.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marilyn. It's Erica. I did the first review and then prepared the list of recommendations from the leadership team. So I believe you might be right that the first point would be a further clarification from her end, but would have to read the complete comment and not just a summary of the comment. And unfortunately, I can't open right now my second computer, and I can't go back to the original document neither. Alan, do you have, you want to make a comment with regard to the same point?
Yes, I do, but I see Marika has her hand up, so we should let her go first.
Okay, thank you so much. I haven't seen this neither. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Alan, and thanks, Erica. This is Marika. Yeah, I just want to know that, as said, you know, the full detail of the comment is in the document further below, so it is really important that everyone reviews those, of course, in detail. As said, you know, to facilitate the conversation, we're just providing the shorthand version, but I can read her full comment here. So it's specific. So she states that in relation to recommendation number 2, the specific objectives of fund allocation are laudable, but may be overly broad in light of ICANN's mission. Care should be taken to revise the objectives to be defined in a manner which is restricted by ICANN's mission, and these guidelines should be communicated to an independent third party selected in a bidding process to be conducted by ICANN staff to select supremely qualified and experienced third party provided pursuant to mechanism B. So that's our full comment, and that's where we derived from this notion of making sure that the objectives are not overly broad in light of ICANN's mission. But as said previously, the group needs to consider the comment, and you can of course decide to agree with it, but you also have the option to disagree with it and state the rationale for why you disagree with it with a certain comment.
Thank you, Marika. Alan, please.
Yeah, thank you. First, an editorial comment. I believe the intent was where it says 24. I think that was a separate sentence, which was a constraining factor, saying it should meet these criteria, but we are always constrained by the mission and bylaws. So my question on the editorial part, though, is when it says between the second and third bullets and, my recollection was our intent was that one of these criteria had to be satisfied, constrained by the mission and bylaws, in which case perhaps or would be a better word to put there instead of and, because with and it almost reads as if you have to satisfy all of the criteria to be an eligible project. In terms of the substance of the question, I believe our thought processes when we went into this was to try to make the criteria as broad as possible, but constrained by the mission and bylaws. And I don't think I would want us to revise that right now. We are always constrained by the mission and bylaws, but within that, these are three areas that we think are worthy of any of which are worthy of projects. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alan. I believe you, Erica, you're right, and we had a common understanding in this group, and there was, in my memory, nobody who was rejecting that we would be gated by the mission. Maybe we just need to review, as you said, the language and see if the language is correct, and then maybe we can put this comment from her side, because we believe it's covered by our common understanding reviewed by the language, which we believe we can gather behind. Jonathan, please.
This is Jonathan Frost, transcript. I have a kind of a two-part question. Since we're reviewing recommendation of the example projects being used subsequently to determine whether a project is an invalid project, we of course want those example projects to be within the remit of the ICANN bylaws. The first question would be, what mechanism, or basically who is deciding or Is there someone of who actually like has looked at what ICANN's funded before to determine whether those projects are actually within the remit of the bylaws? The second question is, how do we what's the process for actually deciding what those list examples are actually going to be? Because it looks like there were a lot of comments in the initial comment period about types of examples, types of projects people would like to see, and is there a mechanism for incorporating those projects into this actual list of examples? Assuming that they don't actually violate ICANN's bylaws.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It's Erica. Maybe just to remind us. So the first one, the list of examples, were set up to guide us and to help us to understand what falls within the mission and what we believe is without the mission. So the list of guide of examples are not there to provide a template for groups later to apply for exactly this particular project. And yes, we will come to the examples given by others, and we will have to discuss and debate, shall they be added to the list of examples or not? That's something we will have to discuss later. Concerning your first point, we have a broad understanding between us how we believe the mission statement and the bylaws will gate projects which are applicable or not. And then the rest of the work, the more detailed work, will have to be done by the implementation team, which follows our team, and by the future evaluators, which will have to do a check. Are the concrete projects they receive, do they fall within the mission or do they not fall within in the mission? So that's not really our role and our work, but it's good that you highlight this point and you say how important they are and that somebody needs to look into them. Is this okay for you, Jonathan?
That's very clarifying and I appreciate it. Just kind of a point of clarification. Whose work is it to determine that the examples that this group is putting out is what we view as being remit of the bylaws? Who's determining whether those are actually within the remit of the bylaws? Is this just kind of a group consensus decision?
Yes, that's the way we have done it, how we have handled it in the past. But again, this is just a list to an example list for our own guidance to help us to shape the space and the understanding, the intellectual space and the understanding what falls within the mission and what not, and within the bylaw or what not. Again, it's not a template for people to say, okay, we want to take a project and put this forward as a project. Now, they can do it, of course. Nobody will prohibit them to do it. But that's not the purpose of the example, the way we have set them up. So it was our group.
All right. That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay. I hope that's okay, Jonathan. So, Marika, back to you.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So I think we'll make note here of...
Marika?
Can you hear me?
We can hear
Erica?
You.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. This is Marika. So I think we'll make note here of a working group agreement to review this language to make sure it's not overly broad, but at the same time make note of the fact that the language is already, or the objectives are already constrained by ICANN's mission, and as such there is a restraining factor already in there, and I think we'll also make note of the suggestion from Alan to consider changing to make clear that one of those objectives would need to be met and not necessarily all three. So hopefully that sums up accurately what what was discussed. And I'll just also make note of the comment I put in the chat. There were a number of comments that were made as well in relation to the examples that are provided in an annex. And in hindsight, maybe they should have been included in this particular question, but I think they're currently part of a separate section. So the group will eventually get to that as well and have an opportunity to review in further detail whether that list is accurate and or whether additional examples should be added or not. So I think I know we're running towards the end of the meeting, so should we take one more, Erica?
My recommendation, let's take one more. I believe the next one is easy. Let's take this one, and then let's come to the question how we deal with the two time slots in Kobe. Just take one more. Marika.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Erica. This is Marika, and I think the next comment indeed already goes to kind of the scope and as well as some of the examples provided. So it's a comment from the registry stakeholder group, and again, we've summarized it as what we believe is the main suggestion here, which is the CCWG to consider whether work around universal acceptance falls within and supports ICANN's mission. The leadership recommendation as a result of that is to check whether universal acceptance efforts fall within ICANN's mission and can therefore be supported. And the question, does an ICANN-sponsored project using ICANN operational budget, is that also eligible for applying funds with the same objectives?
Thank you, Marika. It's Erica. Marilyn, please.
Thank you. Marilyn speaking. Marika, I think there was more than one similar question, and I'm just going to express a point of view that I hope we would then consider further. Earlier, and I'm very pleased that I think Becky's still on the phone with us, I'm hoping. I think earlier we received guidance from the board that we should take into account. But we also need to take into account that other guidance we've received from ICANN Legal and from the CFO's office is that the auction funds are not to compete with or replace the ICANN budget. And while I would say universal acceptance is one example, engagement and participation is another example, awareness about ICANN in developing countries and support for initiatives is a third example. All of those are really important. I think we have to be careful that we are not supplementing or replacing the ICANN budget. We all understand that there was significant discussion and concern even about use of the auction funds for replenishment of the reserve fund, which my constituency and the two constituencies that make up the CSG that I represent here supported, but that was controversial. It did receive support and move forward. But I would have to question not whether universal acceptance or participation and awareness or attendance at ICANN meetings are worthwhile initiatives, but I would have to question the division between the ICANN budget and enabling grants that allow the community to carry forward with their own activities through the grant process. If we smush up these activities with ICANN org initiatives, I think we are going to find ourselves creating challenges in the tax reporting and even the IRS concerns about the relationship of these funds to the ICANN budget. So I would say having a parallel set of activities could be very good, but smushing them together could create both legal and other implications.
Thank you, Marilyn. I've seen many, many who want to comment. We only have 4 minutes left. So are you fine with it that we postpone the discussion to our next meeting in Kobe? And we can open the topic as an email exchange if you would like, so we can continue the debate. Personally, I believe it was relatively simple, but I see there's many, many more points coming up. So are you okay with it that we postpone the discussion and we can open the topic about this by email immediately if you would like, and then we continue the discussion in Kobe? Can we agree on this?
Yes.
Or is somebody who wants to make a comment right away? Okay, I see Shua and agreement. Alan, is this okay for you too, Jonathan? Daniel, I say it's Shua.
Yes, it's okay.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you, Daniel and Jonathan. Marilyn, so we postpone the discussion. It takes more time, Marika, and so we will have it ideally by email in the meantime, and we can continue to discuss the topic in Kobe. Marika, we now have to discuss, we come to the next item, and maybe you can explain again the difficulties we are having. So the first one concerning the two time slots in Kobe, we do have two. Please remind us about the two time slots, and then we see we are not getting sufficient support for one of the time slots. So the question is, shall we keep it or shall we just have one meeting in Kobe? And then the second topic is we don't get sufficient support for either or one of the time slots. There are not enough people replying. So Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So what you see on the screen is the responses we've received to the Doodle poll. And as you know, we currently have two slots reserved for the CCWG, one on Monday from 1:30 to 3, and another one on Wednesday from 5 to 6:30 local time. You know, for the Monday slot, it looks like we'll have at least 10 people attending in person. But I know that for the Wednesday slot there is a significantly less attendance. We currently only have 6 people in the that they can participate. I know that it's running in parallel to a number of meetings that will prevent participation. Marilyn indicated that there's some, I think, CSG-related meetings. I know the CCNSO, I think, is also having their council meeting at the same time. So it's providing some challenges there. So and as Erica noted, I think the question for the group is, you know, does the group want to keep the two slots, noting that we'll likely have significantly less attendance for the second slot, and it may also mean that any conversations held will need to be redone as you know, everyone will have had a chance to weigh in, and you know, just stick with the slot on Monday, or you know, does the group believe it's still worth having the two slots and just try to make as much progress as we can? So I think that's the...
Thank you, Marika. It's Erica. I believe you should keep the two slots if you want to have my personal opinion, because we really need to make progress, but we then need to have an understanding that if there's a small group in the second meeting, that we would be still, we would of course review the recommendations they would make, but we would have in principle an understanding that the work can be carried forward by a smaller group as well. So comments, please. Two or just one? Jonathan saying agree with both slots. Marilyn is raising the point. Marika raised, we don't have enough support for the second slot. But we don't know. People still might change and more people might show up. We never know. That's the difficulty. Marika, Marilyn, you want to speak up?
I do. It's Marilyn. look, we can't just have six people and not have broad representation. If we can't have, just because we have six people, if they're only in the participant or observer status, Erica, then we can't make decisions. What I'd prefer to see is if there's any possibility of extending the Monday slot by 15 or 30 minutes and slug through a lot more of this work. But if we only have four, five, six people for Wednesday, we can't really say that's representative of our work program.
Erica, I agree. If it just was the only participant, of, I don't mean only in the sense of only, but not members, it would be cause difficulties. I haven't evaluated this actually in the reply. Marika, would it be possible to prolong this slot for a little bit longer, or do we have an absolute limitation of time?
Yeah, this is Marika. I believe we do have an absolute limitation of time. I think there is already a shortage of rooms and meetings. So I don't think it will be possible for us to extend beyond maybe a 5 minute a crossover. And I also know that right after our meeting is the cross community session on next steps and ICANN's response to the GDPR, which I know interests many people, and I think there was also agreement that there couldn't be any meetings that would run directly in parallel of that. So I think we are limited by the time we have.
Okay, it's Erica. How about we do the following? We keep for the moment the two time slots because things might still change and people may make up their minds and we'll bring support in the second time slot as well. So then it's worthwhile keeping it. And if not, if we see that don't have sufficient support, then we will either decide we just take it as a working slot, Marika, for the leadership team, and we continue working, or we cancel it in the last minute. Would this be an option, or would this cause difficulty for ICANN? And
yeah,
not ICANN, but for the ICANN organization.
Yeah, this is Marika. I know that I think there are other groups that currently do not have a room, and if there's any cancellations, they would make use of that. So in that sense, canceling last minute would disadvantage those groups, as I know we're kind of running out of space. So I think ideally, and also for I think the planning of the members of this group, I think it would be good to take a decision to either cancel the slot and that frees up people's time to attend other meetings or commit to having the meeting, recognizing that not everyone may be able to make it, but at least those that have indicated they're available, they would be able to hopefully attend.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. It's Erica. Ellen, please.
Yeah, I think you can assume there are plenty of people who will be there and would attend, even though they haven't signed up on the doodle. I'm certainly one of those. Barring some major conflict, I think we're going to have pretty good attendance. I would keep both of them at this point. We really have a lot of work to do, and we need to move forward on it.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Just checking the chat room quickly. Yeah, let's keep it, Marika. Let's keep it. Let's keep, and to the group, let's keep the two slots. I have the same feeling. I understand Marilyn, and I have complete sympathy for the point of view, but I believe we need to really move forward. And looking back, we always had this discussion, and then in the end, we always had many people actually attending, despite the similar debate and discussion we had. So people often just don't reply anymore to these kind of polls. So let's keep it, and let's see that we can move the topic forward. Last item on the agenda is just the confirmation for the next step and the next meeting in Kobe. I think we have done this already. Any other topic which we need to discuss? Marika, is there something else with regard to COVID which we need to keep in mind?
Erica, this is Marika. No, I think just to note that, you know, our first meeting will be Monday, and it would be really helpful, of course, if everyone, you know, reviews the templates. We can prepare a couple more to make sure that we have sufficient materials if we make good progress. So just to make sure that, you know, you review all the comments in detail and you know, come prepared with your suggestions on how to address the comments that have been received. First meeting.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day or evening or morning, depending where you are, and we see you all in COVID. Thank you so much. Take good care. Bye-bye, Erica.